Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the ninth Sunday in Ordinary Time. The announcements are, we will have a fish fry this Wednesday and every Friday during Lent. Join us at 5 p.m. in the activities room. There will be a second collection next weekend to benefit the church in Eastern Europe. The St. Linus chapter of St. Vincent de Paul is having a fundraiser. Details are on the red flyer in this weekend's blanket. Tickets will also be available for sale after all masses next weekend. Next Sunday, March 13th, daylight saving time begins. Don't forget to turn your clocks forward 1 hour. Next Sunday, March 13th, there will be a family mass at the 11 a.m. mass. We ask that all children bring a non-perishable food item or a homemade card for our homebound parishioners. The funeral for Helen Paletko, mother of Mayor Dan Paletko, will be this Monday at 10 a.m. There will also be a vigil service at the Tarowski Funeral Home tonight at 7 p.m. Please join us for coffee and donuts in the activities room after Mass. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We want to welcome Emmanuel and Emilio Rodriguez, their mother and their godparents, who are here in celebration of the upcoming baptism of Emmanuel and Emilio. Can we welcome them, please? We are always encouraged by these signs of new life and God's action among us, and God wants to act among us here now today, bringing us into his courts, lifting up our eyes to his great glory, feeding us on his word and his very self. Let us prepare ourselves for this holy encounter by acknowledging his word and the way that it convicts us of things that we have done wrong, ways that we have fallen short, so that we might turn to him to be washed with his mercy, to be filled with his spirit.
Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you have given us the consolation of the truth. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd leading us into everlasting life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. Lord, as you give us, God our Father, teach us to cherish the gifts that surround us, increase our faith in you, and bring our trust to its promised fulfillment in the joy of your kingdom. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses told the people, "Take these words of mine into your heart and soul. Bind them at your wrist as a sign, and let them be a pendant on your forehead. I set before you here this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing for obeying the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today. A curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way I ordain for you today to follow other gods whom you have not known. Be careful to observe all the statutes and decrees that I set before you today." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I commend my spirit, O Lord. my trust in you, Lord. In your hands are my destiny. Let your face shine upon your servant, Lord. In your hands I will place my life. Oh, Lord, be my rock of safety.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Though testified to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Preaching can be a frustrating experience since many times you're unable to reach those who most need to hear the words you have to offer. People who don't attend the weekend liturgies offer many reasons, some legitimate and some not. But then there are the faithful, those of you who make an effort to be in these pews each and every week. Why do we come to these weekend liturgies? Because we have to? Because it's an obligation and we would be sinning seriously if we miss Mass without a compelling reason? Or is it because we love God and really want to worship Him, eager to hear and ponder His word in our lives? I hope that's the case. I think the ultimate reason for all of us being here is that we want to be saved. We want to spend eternity in the kingdom of God, sharing His infinite love with Him and with all of those who love Him. That begs a question that Christians have been debating for centuries and which was responsible for the deepest rift ever to occur in the Christian world. And that question is, how are we saved? It is a good question to consider today since all of our readings in some way address the topic of salvation. It was almost 500 years ago now that an Augustinian monk changed the landscape of the Christian world, perhaps forever, when he elicited from sacred scripture a new understanding of the way in which we are justified or made right before God. The monk's name was Martin Luther, and he found in Bible passages language that he believed rejected the traditional teaching about salvation that required participation in our faith, a need to live the will of God in our lives. Luther based his theology on verses such as the one that we encounter in today's second reading, when Paul asserts that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Luther interpreted this and similar passages to mean that we are saved only by the grace of God, by the action of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his sacrificial death justifies each and every one of us before the throne of God, and that there is nothing that we either need to do or even can do that would contribute to that justification. Much of what Luther said was correct regarding God's grace as the source of our justification. But the teaching that resulted in the evolution of Protestantism occurred in part because he refused to acknowledge the need for our participation in our own salvation. If the concept of justification by faith apart from works had been consistent and the only such message of sacred scripture, Luther may have had a point. But in speaking today of faith apart from works, Paul is addressing the initial justification that leads to a person's entry into Christian life, not to the way he is to live after he is baptized. And secondly, he is addressing such works of law as circumcision and dietary regulations, which he correctly identifies as having nothing to do with a person's standing before God. There are further contradictions of Luther's teaching that help us to understand how we are to live our faith. James teaches us in the second chapter of his letter that we are justified by works and not by faith alone. In this case, the word works refers not to works of the law, but to acts of charity, something made very clear by that passage of James. Also clarifying this teaching on salvation are today's two other readings, which we have just heard. Let us listen again to the message of Deuteronomy. Prior to today's message, the Lord had delivered his people out of Egypt, had led them through the desert, and had brought them to the doorstep of a beautiful new land that they would soon call their home. It is here that Moses points to the goodness of God and reminds the Israelites that they, like us, have an opportunity to choose. I set before you here this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing for obeying the commandment of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today. A curse if you do not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside to other gods. The Israelites had known the goodness of God. They could be blessed by obedience or cursed by disobedience. The choice seems obvious, yet we know how often they disobeyed. Today's gospel drives home the lesson of choice in an even more dramatic way. Jesus is teaching how to qualify for membership in the kingdom of heaven. Will those who say, "Lord, Lord," qualify? No. How about those who prophesy in the name of the Lord? No again. Neither do the driving out of demons or doing mighty deeds qualify one for the kingdom, in spite of how good these might sound. In fact, Jesus says that not only will such as these be denied the keys to the kingdom, but they will hear the words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." What is lacking that would provoke such an exaggerated response to these seemingly good behaviors? It is apparent that works alone, even good and mighty works, are no more effective than faith alone as the key to salvation. What then is needed to assure acceptance into the kingdom? The short answer is obedience, the obedience of faith that Paul writes about in both the first and the last chapters of his letter to the Romans. Obedience that means doing the will of the Father. It is the wise man who builds on rock and not on sand, who, Jesus teaches, builds his life by listening to the words of Jesus and acting on them. This gospel passage brings to a conclusion the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus defines new terms for doing God's will. In this sermon, Jesus calls for a new understanding of the law and for a new motivation in following it. In this new understanding, Jesus clarifies rules about divorce and calls us to see in a new way sins such as murder and adultery. And he extends the command to love beyond friends and the like-minded to include those who disagree with us, dislike us, and even desire to do us harm. Further, Jesus introduces love rather than obligation as the reason to keep the law that he has defined. We are to be humble, authentic, honest, gentle, and kind in obeying the law, in doing the will of God. This gospel speaks against the nominal Christian, against the hypocrisy that can occur when we piously attend Mass each Sunday, but choose to follow other gods during the week. The gospel also speaks against complacency, against hearing the words but ignoring the works that they call for. As Catholics, we believe that we are not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but to follow the will of God. This is the kind of faith that we are truly called to, a dynamic faith in a loving God who calls us to love in return. Those who choose what is right, who do the will of the Father, will be blessed and can look to the kingdom of heaven. Those who choose not to follow God will not share the presence of God in eternity. God is love. God is willing to share that infinite gift of himself with those he has created for all eternity. But if we desire that love, we must respond. We must not only believe in Jesus Christ and his saving death and resurrection on our behalf, we must also act on that faith. We must surrender ourselves to the will of the Father in a way that will change us forever, in a way that will enable us to see, to hear, to act, and to love with the mind and the heart of Jesus. Let us not live as Sunday Catholics who fail to respond as Jesus commands. Let us seek God's will each minute of every day, and let us seek always to do that will as we entrust our faith to Him.